Welcome to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. Capital Square specializes in sponsoring tax-advantaged real estate investments, 1031 exchange programs, opportunity zone funds, and a real estate investment trust to acquire apartment communities in the Southeast and Texas. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Whitson Uffman, a senior executive at Capital Square. Whit, welcome to the Real Estate Show. What's your title?
Thank you, Louis. Thanks for having me. I am the Chief Strategy and Investment Officer at Capital Square.
That's a big title. What does that mean? What does that entail?
I establish the investment strategies for Capital Square. And so I help us craft strategies that allow us to obtain the investment objectives for our varying strategies, which include a REIT, our Delaware statutory trust business, and our opportunity zone development business.
Tell us about your background in real estate and multifamily investing.
Sure. So I began my multifamily career at a company called JBG, which is now known as JBG Smith. It was a commercial real estate private equity company with development capabilities, and it had about 9 funds, $10 billion of assets under management. Most recently, folks who are listening in may know JBG Smith for landing Amazon HQ2 in Northern Virginia. I joined Capital Square in April of 2018, and since then have been working mostly on multifamily acquisitions across the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast. All told, acquisitions and development, I've done about $6 billion worth of apartment transactions over the last 8 years.
If you would, tell the radio audience what's kept you so busy at Capital Square since joining about 4 years ago.
Yeah, so we've been really busy, a little bit of a growth spurt. So we've been really leaning into our investment strategy of focusing on secondary and tertiary markets in the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast that we think are overlooked. And I would say we think a market is overlooked when we like the supply-demand fundamentals, or think there's a good underpinning of diversified employers, white-collar jobs, blue-collar jobs. We think those things triangulate towards healthy rent growth. And fortunately, during the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen a lot of trends accelerate in terms of in-migration into these markets, which has only accelerated, as I mentioned, those rent growth trends. We also launched a development company, and so that is focused on multifamily development opportunities in the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast. So our hometown of Richmond, Virginia, where we have 4 properties actually under construction right now, a 5th and 6th coming, a boutique apartment hotel in Charleston, South Carolina, and then a 20-story high-rise tower that breaks ground next quarter in Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's certainly enough to keep you busy. Let us shift to multifamily investing. Capital Square focuses on multifamily investments in the Southeast. That's Virginia, through the Carolinas, Georgia, Texas, Florida, and Tennessee. What happened to Capital Square's apartment portfolio when the COVID pandemic hit?
So we took a pause in terms of our acquisitions to kind of understand what was going on inside of our existing portfolio. And we realized that our portfolio was doing really well. Rent collections were in the high 90s, really in keeping with the long-term historical averages. And we saw a really good buying opportunity. Interest rates were low. Buyers were hesitant to re-enter the market. And so we doubled down on our strategies and we launched our first multifamily acquisition post-COVID, I want to say in May of 2020. So a time when most folks were still working from home, the economy really wasn't back yet open, but it certainly prevented some of the best buying opportunities that we've seen during this last cycle.
That is phenomenal. Like, I can remember the discussions with our asset management team when they were telling us that we were seeing 98-99% rent collection. And that was because our tenants, our residents, have good jobs. They simply needed to work from home. And so we had very strong rent collections, very strong occupancy on 7,000 plus apartments from COVID through today. Today we're what, 9,000 apartment units?
Yeah, over 9,000, headed towards 10,000 here momentarily.
That's a good number. Capital Square used to be known for buying Class B apartments, the so-called value add Class Bs in the Southeast. But in the last 18 months or so, Capital Square has been buying newly constructed Class A apartments. What changed?
Well, initially, the thesis was that apartments that were in active lease-up, so they had just finished construction and they were trying to fill 300 units with residents, we thought they would have to offer a lower rental rate to get it full. We weren't really sure exactly what the COVID-19 pandemic was going to bear on the economy and what impact that would have on renters. And so we felt like developers were undercharging for rent and that that would create an opportunity for us as the buyer to really optimize that rent roll, right? Set where the true market rents are and that we could take a long view, right? Instead of being short in our lens, right? Hey, we've got to fill these 300 units and we need to do it in a year. We could say, hey, we'll set the exact right rent level, but we got 2 to 3 years to do that. We thought we could really create long-term investment value by executing that strategy. And that strategy's proved itself out, especially over the last year or so. And if you look at organic rent growth trends, certainly in Richmond, right, it's been really strong. But when you look inside of the lease-up strategies in our portfolio, it's been exceptionally strong, atypically strong. We think that opportunity to outperform the broader market by leaning into that lease-up strategy was a really strong decision, especially given some of the trepidation people were having on the buy side. I also think that having a development business allowed us to get comfortable evaluating those lease-up opportunities. We have investment professionals whose job is to buy land, build apartments, and lease those apartments up. And they're really darn good at evaluating what those rents should be when you're leasing up. So we've really focused on that. We've really leaned into it. It's a strategy that has served us well over the last 18 months. Coming up on 2 years, I mean, it's been a really long pandemic. I remember residents at Riverwatch, which was our first lease-up deal, because we negotiated the price in the labor and delivery room when my son was being born, and we were all still wearing masks.
You have to love that dedication. What are your preferred multifamily markets these days?
So we really like Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's been a market we've been hyper-focused on. We have 5 assets there right now. We'll have 6 by the end of the year. We're also evaluating development opportunities. We're very bullish on the Richmond multifamily market. And for those listening today and those folks that are living in Richmond, there's a bunch of trend lines which have attracted us to Richmond specifically. First would be the strong rent growth, right? So we're up in Richmond, which is where I live. It's where Lewis lives, Capital Square's headquartered. We're up over 13% year over year on rent growth. Over the last quarter alone, rents pushed almost 2%. And both of those are ahead of the national average. You might be asking why, and it's a pretty simple equation. If you look at the growth trends from a population perspective, Richmond over the last year has essentially doubled the national average. So if the national population grew 0.4%, the Richmond Tidewater MSA grew at 0.9%. Doesn't seem like a lot, but growing double the national average is certainly a strong trend line. And then when you look over the last decade, you know, the population's grown almost 9%. I think it's 8.9 to be exact per our econometric data sources. Those are really strong trend lines, right? So you got this in migration, good population growth, and then you've got growing wages. We've seen a lot of really good employers enter this market. You know, most recently, Carvana announcing plans to hire 400 employees in the metro. And so we think all of those items bode really well for rent growth. And fortunately for us, there are developers who believe that story too. So we have deals that we can build, and there's deals in the market that we can buy. Investment activity in Richmond has been really strong.
That is great. It reminds me of CoStar, right? Remember when they announced the move of their second headquarters in Richmond, not in Bethesda or DC?
Yep.
And what they originally hired 700 and now they're up to 1,000. So very strong rent growth. If you would walk our audience through the most important factors in our decision at Capital Square to invest in a market.
Yeah. So first and foremost, we always evaluate supply. And then we look at, hey, what does the broad supply look like in a metro, right? What's the broader supply look like in Richmond? 11,500 units under construction, right? What does that look like? How many on an annual basis? We look at submarkets. Where are all those units going? And then we try to triangulate what does the demand look like at the metro level and then market by market, so neighborhood by neighborhood. What we often find is that when we're investing in neighborhoods that have really strong rent growth, it's also in keeping with broader metro growth, right? So we're looking at that supply-demand equation. We don't want to enter a market where there's just an excess of supply. The law of economics say, right, you're going to have sluggish rent growth if there's too many apartments available relative to the demand for those apartments. We also look at whole dollar rent tracks. So how affordable is the rent overall? Richmond is really strong in affordability, especially as it relates to multifamily housing, and especially as compared to the national average. And then we also look at expenses. So is it a business-friendly state? How much control do we have over the expenses? Is there union labor? Is there non-union labor? What do the real estate taxes look like? Do we have good visibility into what those reassessment ratios are going to look like? Richmond and Virginia, broadly speaking, is very business-friendly, so it makes underwriting those very easy. We also then look at the composition of the employment. So where are folks working and on what percentage basis? If you took Richmond as an example, trade, transportation, utilities is 18% of the current employment base. Professional and business services is 15.8%. And education and health services is 14.8%. Those are really, really healthy numbers. You're getting up near 50% being concentrated across those three alone, which is exceptionally strong. If you layer in government and financial activities, you're well north of 50-60% of the employment base being centered around high-paying white-collar jobs.
Well, that's great stuff. I'm thrilled. Let's drill down a little, if you would, into the flats at West Broad in the west end of Richmond. What drove Capital Square to buy that interesting Class A property? It's a unique property.
Yeah, it's certainly a unique property. It delivered right after the real estate recession. You could argue it's delivered in the real estate recession. And it's true urban mixed use. So there's ground level retail. It's part of a master planned community. And first and foremost, it's of the right scale. So it's 339 units. We focus on institutional size and quality real estate. So it checks that box. Short pump in that part of Henrico County is a growing market. Really strong long-term projected rent growth and occupancy trends, right? North of 95%, 3+% rent growth. So really healthy overall. And then this specific opportunity was interesting because of the ability to create long-term investment value through interior unit renovations and upgrades. So renovating kitchens with new countertops, new cabinet faces, new appliances, putting new flooring throughout, renovating the bathrooms, and then charging higher rent in exchange for a better quality unit. And so we believe out of those 339, there's 200 units that we've selected and targeted for renovations, and that will overall increase revenue at the property during our holding period. So it's a very simple story in that regard. We're really excited about the physical quality and condition of the asset. It is newer and vintage, right? It's 2009 construction, but there's still this upside through interior unit renovations, and we don't really come across a ton of properties with that profile.
So it's kind of an interesting spin. We're used to doing Class B properties from the 70s, 80s, and 90s with value add. This is an almost new property, 2009, that has value add. Makes it unique.
It does.
Not to mention being in the west end of Richmond, almost across the street from Innsbruck, in a community of, 400,000 feet of retail, hotel, fitness, restaurants. You could actually live, work, and play.
A true mixed-use destination.
It would be a great place to live, work, and play. Let's shift to the stats. We've got Yardi Matrix. What is Yardi Matrix for our audience?
Yeah, so Yardi Matrix provides econometric data on select markets across the country. And so that means employment information, income information, projected growth in those areas. They keep track of new supply, planning. So how many units are under construction? How many properties are in the planning stage? And we can expect that they'll be put into construction over the next couple of years. It evaluates demand. And then also, most importantly, it is critical in identifying the competitive set of properties for an acquisition. So what are the rental rates at other properties? And what were they historically? And what was their occupancy? And so they use that a couple of different ways. But Yardi is also one of the most prevalently used accounting softwares for all real estate owners. And so they also have really good expense data, and they're really, really good at providing comparable expense data for us as we evaluate investment opportunities.
So Yardi has the actual data. They're not projecting or estimating or like a demographer, looking out at the past or the future. They have the data.
They have the data.
Well, I'm looking at the fall 2021 report. It's called Richmond Drives On. I see your picture towards the back. It looks like you wrote an article on the key factors behind Richmond stability.
Yep.
We should definitely get you on the radio show someday because it sounds like you're an expert. You're an expert to tell us why. Now, we're still in Richmond in the Virginia region, and this Richmond Drives On report talks about rent trends. Rents are up in Richmond. Do I recall that Richmond had the highest rent growth last year in the nation? Is that right?
It had one of them, correct.
And how's it looking for this year and next year?
It looks really strong this year. This year, year over year, rents up over 13%. Really strong projected rent growth next year. And if you look at certain select pockets as well, there's over 20% rent growth. So in certain submarkets, especially west of downtown, there's been some really super, super strong rent growth. But as a broader metro, just absolutely astounding rent growth.
That is phenomenal. The second section of this report talks about economic snapshot. For our audience, our listeners, please summarize what's happening from an economic standpoint in the area.
Yes, you've got a growing employment base, which is really exciting, especially coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic. So in the prior 12 months, Richmond added over 61,000 jobs, and that's a 4.5% increase. The unemployment rate went down to 4.4%. which is about 100 basis points below the U.S. average. And so with that unemployment rate going down, number of jobs going up. It's a really good recipe for a healthy apartment market. And I do think it's important. We talked a little bit about how we dig into the underlying employment base of a metro. All but two of the employment sectors that Yardi tracks show job growth during the 12 months ending in June. And the two that lost jobs were 300 jobs in the government and 400 in financial services. So not necessarily large loss leaders. But that leisure and hospitality saw tremendous growth, and trade and transportation saw tremendous growth as well.
Excellent. 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 Well, let's shift to supply. What's happening in the development pipeline in the Richmond region?
Yeah, so we're not the only ones who see all the fantastic things going on in Richmond. There's a few other developers as well who are active builders. So there's about 11,000 units under construction in Richmond, and that's about 5% of the existing inventory. And that sounds like a lot when you think about it in just isolation, but if you look at it compared to the national average as a percentage of total stock, Richmond is still pretty far behind the national average. So we're feeling good about the construction pipeline. 13 developments with 2,400 units came online this year through August, which is about 1% of stock. So I think you could argue that we've been behind on deliveries this year, and absorption has been exceptionally strong. So while there is a lot of new supply, we think there's a little bit of a backlog here, but there's also still just such a tremendous amount of demand that we expect those 11,500 units to be absorbed without issue.
So it's still true that we have a housing shortage?
It is.
And that at least half of the housing stock is old and cruddy?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And let's talk about transaction volume. I see a lot of activity. I see that Capital Square is leading that activity as the busiest acquirers of property in the region. What's creating all this activity?
I think there's a couple of things. I think you've seen a rotation out of primary markets or gateway markets that historically have been the biggest attractors of institutional and foreign capital. And I think for the first time in recent history, you're seeing foreign and institutional capital go look into smaller cities, what we would refer to as secondary markets. And so year to date through August, there's been just under 800 million worth of transactions, which is more than double the 315 that occurred in 2020. What's interesting is we kind of talk generally about Richmond's affordability. On a price per door basis, the cost to buy an apartment in Richmond is about 24.3% less than the U.S. average, which I always find so surprising given all the strong positive trends lines in Richmond. So I do think you're finding institutional investors and foreign investors finding some of these secondary markets to be a really good buy, especially on a per door basis or a price per pound basis. There's been a lot of renter by necessity trades. So those Class B communities that offer upside, that has been a 10% increase in terms of purchase price on a per unit basis, right? Which is kind of how we compare the purchase price across assets. And I think that's reflective of those institutional buyers who use floating rate debt going into these secondary markets and bidding the markets up a little bit. So as an existing owner in Richmond, we're really excited to see all these new market participants.
Excellent. We'd love to see people come in, run the price up, and then when the time comes, we'll sell a large portfolio to them. So you're two thumbs up on the Richmond and entire Virginia region for multifamily investment. Capital Square is also a large buyer of apartment communities in Georgia, outside of Atlanta, and also Chattanooga. Most everybody knows about Atlanta. It's a massive growth engine. Not many people know about Chattanooga. It's under the radar screen. Why Chattanooga? Why Tennessee?
Chattanooga, Gig City, has access to high-speed internet, fiber specifically, and that was an initial attractor, especially for startups, but also large insurance companies. It also is now the home to the electric vehicle manufacturing plant for VW. So a lot of really strong employment growth in Chattanooga, and it offers a lower cost of living relative to Nashville, which has recently made headlines for all of its tremendous growth. It's also only about 2 hours away from Atlanta. So it's really good proximity to a couple of major metros, and it offers unbelievable outdoor and natural amenities. And so for those reasons, we've been exceptionally bullish on Chattanooga. There's an even better supply-demand equation in Chattanooga, we believe, than in Richmond. And so we've been very focused on that market over the last, call it, 18 months or so. And it's a place we've been spending a lot of our time.
Excellent. We hear that Chattanooga is the next Austin or the next Nashville, places that have gotten to be very expensive. So please keep it under your hat. Whisper this. If you're listening in your car, turn the volume down so we don't have to compete with lots of national buyers in Chattanooga. Let us shift gears one more time. Whit, let's talk about Fannie Mae and financing. Multifamily has another angle that other asset classes don't enjoy, and that is the financing. If you would, tell us about the GSAs, the government-sponsored agencies, Fannie, Freddie, and HUD, and how they are driving multifamily investments compared to other asset classes.
The GSEs provide highly liquid capital markets for multifamily lending. Their specific mission is to preserve naturally occurring affordable housing, and they are one of the largest lenders of multifamily capital in the country. And they're more commonly known or referred to as Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae, and we are a large borrower of Fannie Mae. By providing a highly liquid debt capital market solution on the multifamily side, it really helps facilitate the flow of capital into and out of multifamily assets.
So the financing for multifamily investments is dramatically better than any other asset class?
It is. It's very strong, and it provides a good competitive option relative to banks, life companies, and other traditional lenders.
Another reason to like multifamily, we've been borrowing from Fannie in the twos, in the 2% range. And even today, we're in what, the low threes? We've been rate locking very low 3% interest rates fixed for 10 years. So you can't beat multifamily financing. Let's talk about inflation and multifamily. We know that inflation is on us. Where should our listeners invest to create a hedge against inflation?
Yeah, I think multifamily provides a really strong hedge against inflation because it's one-year leases on average. And so every year there's the opportunity to set new rent levels. And with that, we can absorb increases in inflation better than other formats of real estate that have long-term leases with fixed increases during the holding period, where there's the ability to fall behind inflation from a growth perspective.
Well, that's great. So hedge against inflation, multifamily, plus a diversified rent roll compared to, say, a net lease. Let's say you invest in a building with one tenant. Multifamily typically has 200-400 tenants.
Yeah, a couple hundred tenants. And even compared to a multi-tenant office building, that multi-tenant office building typically is going to have a diversified rent roll, but their increases on the rental rate side are fixed in nature. So inflation can run at 5%, but your increase on the rental rate for your office tenants could only be 2.75%. That means the value of your dollar has been eroded. And I think most folks on the call would say they'd at least like to have their dollar invested be worth a dollar at the end.
What are you seeing for rental increases in the Capital Square portfolio?
Really strong. It's dependent upon geography and asset class, but generally speaking, you know, we're ahead of the national average, and I think that's reflective of the markets we've been focused on.
Well, that is great. It's been fascinating to catch up with you. Unfortunately, our time is running a little short. If you would, Whit, please summarize for our audience why you favor multifamily investments.
We like the relative hedge against inflation. We like the ability to create alpha through hands-on active management. And we think that the growth in multifamily over this cycle and over the next 5-10 years is going to far outpace that in other asset classes.
That is exciting stuff. And maybe that's why Professor Linneman, PhD, says that we're living in the golden age of multifamily investing.
This is Louis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square Realty Advisors. Thank you for joining today's episode of The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. It has been a record year at Capital Square. In just the first half of the year, Capital Square acquired $565 million of real estate for 1031 exchange, DST programs, Opportunity Zone funds, and the Apartment REIT. The firm will acquire well over $1 billion of real estate this year for investment programs. And several investment programs have been taken full cycle. That is, when their properties have been sold, and many have been sold for record prices. This year has been off the chart for real estate investment in spite of the pandemic. For more information about Capital Square, contact me at lrogers@capitalsquare1031.com or 877-626-1031. Please join me, Louis Rogers, same time next week. Invest locally, invest nationally, invest with Capital Square on a tax advantage basis. Living in the sweet Virginia breeze.
Sweet Virginia breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Louis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.